Welcome to the How to Change a Million Lives Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Mr. Harrison Klein. Harrison, why don't you take it from here?
All right. Well, hi, everybody. This is Harrison Klein, and I wanted to, connect with you guys because I think the message that I have has some pretty dramatic impact abilities for you and the things that all of you guys out there are doing, especially as public speakers, especially as transformationalists, especially as healers, coaches, and providers of different kinds of massive services. I wanted to start a little bit by telling you guys my story. If you would bear with me, to a time in 1972, I was 28 years old. I think it was 1972. I was 28 years old, sitting in an overstuffed chair in a small apartment in Cleveland, Ohio. I was a person who had autism, had been in autistic state for 23 years, and without kind of reference or without kind of warning, suddenly I was yanked out of my body and sent spinning through this vortex of white light. It was the middle of the night, about 3 a.m. or something like that. And I was doing a little doodle drawing, but then suddenly I'm in this white tube of light, and I'm sent spinning across the universe in a gigantic speed situation, faster than the speed of light. I have colors coming at me. I have patterns coming at me. I am going through cosmic clouds. I am seeing planets birth and die. I am watching galaxies spin from a distance. I am hearing choirs of angels in the background. And I have no idea how long I was in this experience. It could have been 2 minutes. It could have been, 2 hours, could have been 5 hours, whatever the case may be. But when I came back into my body after all this experience, suddenly I was healed from all the autistic experiences, all the pain, all the difficulty, all the darkness that I had for those 28 years. And suddenly I was a new being. And not only was I a new being, a different person than I was the 28 years prior to that moment, but I had enhanced senses. My eyes, my ears, my tactile experiences were very different than I had experienced prior to that moment as well. I could see for the first time, and energy that was in the aliveness of itself, pulsating at different speeds, different rhythms. I could see the different speeds and rhythms of pulsations of yellows and blues and greens. I could see energy swirling between, voice and room and things like that. I could hear a conversation 30 yards away in complete clarity that I couldn't hear, moments before. And for the earlier 28 years of my life, and I could actually see the beginnings and the formation of a thought that began at the base of my spine, traveled the spinal cord up to and through my amygdala, jumping my corpus callosum from the left brain to the right brain, across into my frontal lobe, and then exploding in a soap bubble of thought or image in front of my head, about 2 inches in front of my forehead. And so I actually saw the origin and the traveling of thoughts based on coming from the root chakra through my body and into my mind and across into the place in which we understand as thought begins, the origin of thought and consciousness. So that's basically my introduction to you guys who are on this call. I am in a situation in which I have been a mystic for the past 40 years. My life has been one of magic and an incredible involvement in the transformational process. I've been working with people to elevate their levels of consciousness, their levels of self-esteem, their levels of success. Basically, I am sort of an Academy Award-winning coach in that particular way. We have changed a lot of different lives on this planet. I then went on to Bee sit on the board of some major organizations across the world, one of which is called the Evolutionary Business Council, which Tanya Hoffman is also a part of. Hi, Tanya. And that has a reach of about 155 million people. I sit on the board of the World United, which is a leadership organization in India with an incredible mission. And their mandate is to spiritualize all the industries on the planet that are not spiritual. In other words, we want to create the spiritual components of education and medicine and technology and politics and education and all these other things. And we attract leaders from all over Asia to come. And I'm the American delegate to bring speakers over to India in order to make that happen in that part of the world. I also sit on the board of the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which is the Edgar Cayce Foundation. For those of you guys who recognize the name Edgar Cayce, who is someone who is probably the second most famous psychic in the world after Nostradamus. And, I have been doing this work for quite some time here in changing lives and creating transformation and reframing abilities and taking people to the grandest, greatest versions of themselves. So, you know, I assume that the reason why I am here basically is to, you know, and the reason why you're here basically is to begin to understand how to expand our capabilities. That's exactly what I teach, which is how to expand our capabilities and expand vastly to our growth and multiply our income, multiply our influence, and multiply our impact on the planet. Now, you know, in order to do that, in order to change a million lives, which is a big, you know, big vision and a big thing, we have to understand that we have to be willing to create some conditions on this planet that will, you know, create movements and create a momentum around all that kind of thing. There's only one condition that has to be met by you guys who are wanting to also come into a place like that. And to help other people move into greater transformation, and that condition is that we have to be willing to see ourselves and our world as we've never done that before. We have to come into a place of vision or visionariness and leadership of that process. We have to be willing to learn new truths and put those new truths into practices, and we have to be willing to create a service for vast numbers of people. So, you know, everything rests on our will, all, you know, willingness, basically. And our will is nothing more than a yes to a statement from us on whatever it is that we want to experience. So, you know, we don't have to strain or exercise any willpower. It's all very simple. We don't have to fight against ourselves. In fact, never fight against ourselves. But our willingness is simply our giving ourselves permission to experience the new, and giving the universe and our influence level people permission to assist themselves and us without impinging on our free will to a greater space of the grandest version of ourselves. So the idea is not to worry if we still have fears or reservation even after we start to explore these things, but to simply understand that we're not asking for a perfect state of mind, but we are asking to be willing for us to move from point A to B, regardless of our perceived reservations and blocks in the current time. And as we kind of, you know, expand our vision into all these things, we begin to understand that nothing happens without our will. We have free will, and that's never infringed upon. So we don't force anybody into anything. There's no such thing as slavery from people who come from the love place. You know, this will soon become clear. But the thing that'll, you know, become very clear to us if we're out there to change lives is that there's no difference between being and having. There's no difference between us and our environment. We can't take a human being and separate him from his environment or her environment. The environment and, you know, there's no such thing as an isolation without an without an environment, which then proves the fact that there is no separation. If we can't have an isolated no environment experience, then we are connected to our environment, which makes that makes us all one. So what we are in the midst of is that we are all one. And you know, being and having, as we begin to expand our consciousness, are simply two words that describe the very same thing. We can't separate a state of being from the experiences that define that state of being. And, you know, what we know is that we can understand this scientifically now through all the research that people have been doing in consciousness and quantum physics. And what this means is that the life experiences, including our finances and relationships and health, that we're having right now are intricately related to our state of being and where we are right now. And to have a radically different lifestyle, in order to change something, it clearly follows that we have to have a radically new state of being. You know, the idea is not to worry about how to do that at first, but you know, that's going to clearly become demonstrated as we go. But just now, you know, it's a requirement to understand that we can't escape from the environment we're in, and being and having is the same thing. So the idea is to be prepared to undergo some transformations as we come into, you know, different levels of being. And, you know, there's been many, many studies about all the great accomplishments on the planet from the beginning of the recorded civilization on. And what we find is that there are threads that run through things of the greatest accomplishments on the planet. And three of them, which are absolutely you know, critical for all great massive things to happen, is that the originator or the bringer of the vision has to have self-love. So self-love is the foundational principle upon which, you know, influence is built. When we have a vibrational level, we all agree that we're vibrational beings. I think everybody at this point that would be listening to this is understanding that the idea that this is a vibrational universe and that we are vibrational beings. And as we understand that, we understand that how we vibrate is what affects our worlds. So nobody can vibrate for us, and we don't impinge our vibration upon anyone else. What we are actually experiencing is the condition of ourselves projected into the physical world, which then becomes the feedback of our thoughts in manifested form. So I know that sounds like a pretty wild explanation of it, but the first thing that matters is that we understand that what we are experiencing, no matter what we're looking at, feeling, tasting, touching, is ourselves. So we are all experiencing ourselves. There are other beings out there, but what we experience in our life is really a portion of ourselves, or the attraction of ourselves in that part of ourselves, as in terms of other beings. So the first thing that we have to understand is that situation, that we have to have self-love. And the more we love ourselves, the more influence we have, because we become relaxed and clear and fun and, you know, enjoyable to and with other people. And as that happens, when you have the confidence to move forward into a greater space, we begin to understand that, you know, life has some pretty amazing things that are inside of us that we can give to other people. And so the vision that we have is really based on what we came to this planet for, what purpose we decide we want to bring, what is our clear purpose, and we all come with a purpose. That's a progressively higher state of consciousness. As we begin to unfold ourselves, that becomes clearer and clearer. So the second thing that we have in order to change a million lives, we have to have a first self-love, so that we can, in point of fact, be comfortable in large numbers of people or in connection with large numbers of people. And the second thing that we have to have is a vision that serves vast numbers of people. Every great accomplishment from the dawning of time that we have recorded on has been and come to us by a vision that has been massive for the purpose of serving large numbers, not just for the purpose of, attending to what your family's needs are or your needs are or your friends' needs are, but for the purpose of serving a population of people, as many as you could possibly, reach. And so the process of this service is that it's an intention. And intention is one of the most powerful things that a human being can have. In point of fact, it is the use of all the energy that comes through us cosmically and physically. So intention is the focus portion of who we are. Attention and intention are what create manifestation. And when we want to move this entire world, which is just another part of ourselves, basically, which is just, disowned or disenfranchised or visual part of ourselves, when we want to influence that situation or other people's lives, we have to have a vision that makes a difference to them. So, and the vision has to come in a place of service, because nobody will help you in terms of creating something on the planet if it's only for you. If you just want to, for example, put your kid through college and you ask somebody, for some help, I need some help to get my son through college. Most people will say, I got my own kids to put through college. Thanks very much. But if you say, we are going to be creating a whole new series of playgrounds and a whole new field of endeavor that will change a bunch of lives, kids won't have to, go through the process of humiliation. They won't have to go through the process of low self-esteem and the cruelty of other people. And they'll be able to play with each other, and we'll give them environments that foster their greatness and foster their confidence in themselves. People may take a little bit of money and a little bit of time out of their busy lives and help that process become. So the bigger the vision, the easier it is to manifest things. It's really dynamic and important to understand that. The bigger the vision, the easier it is to manifest things. So when we have a big vision, people come to our aid because it's bigger than us. It's bigger than them. It's bigger than our immediate experiences, and extends into something that is beneficial for all. And so people join you in that process, either with money or time or encouragement or some other form of thing. So there's personal thought and there's group thought. And as we extend our personal creativity to a group, the bigger the vision, the easier it is for people to connect with you and feel your energy and feel your life, feel your aliveness of things. The third thing that's really important in order to change, a million lives, is a sense of destiny. The person who brings the vision has to be convinced that they are the only one, or they are the one that brings this vision. It is their destiny to bring this into a place of congruence, into a place of physical beingness, to increase our positive intentions, to increase our understanding of what our purpose for coming to this planet is, a sense of destiny. We find and resolve the negative intentions in our lives by having this sense of destiny. We bring to reality whatever we desire in a practical way that works all the time for all of our plans, as we have a destiny. So we begin to understand how the universe works. We begin to understand the laws of cause and effect. We begin to understand the laws of consciousness. We begin to understand the beingness of who we are, sense the aliveness of all other people and the aliveness of ourselves in this physical tactile way that's running through us. We come to a place of this knowing that this is our gift to give. And so these three threads run through all things. So it is all very mystical. It's a matter of beginning to live what we understand as our capabilities, which are in point of fact unlimited. And we move from limiting beliefs, which we are, trained to immerse ourselves into, from that place into limitless beliefs. We begin to change our habits. We begin to create a foundation for success. We begin to to kill the villains within. We begin to craft a story of what makes a difference to, you know, a million people on this planet, or what could make a difference to a million people. This is what I went through in my mystical experience. And suddenly, when I had my mystical experience, my first one, I've had many, but at this point, when I had my first one, what it did was it awakened my inner hero. And it gave me a shining goal. It gave me a shining goal of changing a million lives on the planet. And so what began to happen from that space on was to come to the place of understanding how to attract and how to persuade to move people into that space. We come into the place of yes for that. And what generates the ongoing momentum of that is the power of happiness. So the power and the challenge. The challenge and the power of happiness move a million lives forward. And I'm hoping that you guys get this in more than just a general sense, but can take this into your beingness and feel it. Feel it deeply, feel it more livingly and in a place that, you know, creates no idle understanding of it, but a real understanding of it. You know, what is your capability? What is the thing you want to change? And what is the vision? What is the self-love? And what is the destiny of you to bring this situation forward? Tanya, am I anywhere near our time frame? Do I have time to go into what is the foundation of what people have to know in order to make some of this happen? Or shall we wind up here and then, you know, tell people how they can and join and find out more? Well, let's just take one aspect of changing our lives. Would most of you agree that when we have a lot more money than we have at this particular time, our lives will begin to change. We'll make there'll be a change in our lives as we have much more abundance. So what I would love to offer you guys is the fact, two things actually, but I have a program coming out, which I will give you a free gift for. And the free gift is an audio recording of how billionaires set goals. You know, billionaires, there are only 1,900 billionaires on the planet. And those 1,900 billionaires control 97% of the Earth's wealth, leaving the 3% left over for to be divided among 7 billion of us. So as we begin to understand how all this works, we start to understand how they set their goals. I had the privilege of being able to interview 16 billionaires a few years back, and what blew my mind was that they all set their goals in the same way. They all had the exact same process, even though they didn't know each other. I mean, a couple of them knew each other, but for 16 people, it must follow that, you know, if we understand that we create our own lives, that these 1,900 people must think radically different than the other 7 billion people on the planet. So as I began to interview them, you know, I began to find out, you know, what allows them to manifest at such a magnificent rate. How do they set their goals? What is it that they're seeing in their vision? What is it that they're experiencing in their body? And what is it that they write? And how do they create the ladders that make things happen? How do they manage the multiple teams that it takes to make great things happen and great money happen? So as we begin to unfold that understanding and that knowledge, you know, we increase our value to others in a most magnificent way. And I'm not saying that this program will make anybody a billionaire, because that still takes talent and persistence. However, I'm saying that the knowledge of this definitely will have a bottom line impact on increasing your income. So that's a gift I'm giving to you guys just for being on this radio program with Tanya's Public Speakers Program. And we need to find out, you know, what the traits of billionaires are. How do billionaires think? And as we begin to understand how they think radically different, we begin to understand that we can incorporate the same things and get much of the same results.
Perfect. All right, everyone. So make sure that you take advantage of Harrison's amazing offer right away. So thank you, Harrison, for being on. I got to switch over to the next speaker, so I hate to cut you off here.
Rock and roll.